Hey, Juno afternoon. I'm your Wednesday host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me in the studio are Sally Schlichting and Todd Hunt. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
It's your first time on Juno afternoon, right?
today.
At least today. This week.
Well, if you're coming back later on in the show, I'll put it on the rundown.
Okay, good.
No, you guys are here to talk about the final Combrio concert of the season, and I have a question that I don't think I've ever asked before. What does Combrio mean?
Combrio's, it means with spirit, with life, with verve, and it's a tempo marking that's often used in classical music, but I just kind of liked it. Short, sweet, Combrio.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Yeah. Does it mean play faster, play livelier?
Yeah, sure. Faster, livelier.
Both of those things. All right. The concert's theme or title is minimalism. What is minimalism as it relates to music?
Well, minimalism is often characterized by a lot of scale and arpeggiated passages. I think of it as a lot of repetition or a drone where you don't have a lot of change over a period of time, and then you have like a small change in the harmonic structure or in the melody, and then it doesn't change for a period of time, and then you get a different change, and so on. But that's maybe a little stereotypical of minimalism, because I think there's a lot of different styles now and a lot of different aspects to it. So the program that we're going to do this weekend is certainly going to capture a lot of different styles of minimalism.
Yeah. Yeah, there's absolutely, there's lots of different styles. But oh, yeah, one of the big things is having that repetition, which, I mean, we talk about it and it sounds like, well, that sounds like about the dullest thing in the world.
People like to listen to that.
It's like, I think I might skip that. But don't.
Yeah,
it's what you get from it is something that's not, I don't know, like Puccini-esque. It doesn't grab you and drag you around the room with emotion. It can put you into a meditative state. You can go to a concert and like have the music wash over you because it's the like waves of
more
sound.
Atmospheric.
Yeah,
atmospheric. You can have kind of a soundscape where you're just having punctuated by these small changes.
And I think everybody's probably heard minimalism. Who's listening to this show right now? Philip Glass is maybe the best known.
Yeah, Steve Reich might be a little bit.
But you know, movie soundtracks and that kind of thing. That
Paavo Kotze. He's done
The Hours.
Thin Blue Line. The Hours. Mm-hmm. He's done quite a bit.
So I think the music will, at least in some way, be familiar to everybody, even if they haven't heard the particular piece, but the style. They'll go, oh, that stuff. I love that stuff.
Right. It dates back to the 1960s is when it got its start.
It's like really kind of psychedelic.
Yeah, it came out of the psychedelic scene with the composers LaMonte Young and Philip Glass, Steve Reich, and Terry Riley. And so we're going to feature Terry Riley and Philip Glass on the program for that kind of that more early look at the minimalist style.
Groovy. And the program will also feature compositions by David Lang, Philip Glass, Terry Riley, who you mentioned, Arvo Pärt. And then one of those names is a little out of place, Moondog.
Right. Moondog.
Who is Moondog?
So Moondog was also a fairly early minimalist, but he's quite a bit different. And he was his real name is Lewis Hardin, and he was born in Kansas. And he grew up, he learned music, but it was, he was blinded early on, I think at age 16, and ended up going to this, I think the Iowa School for the Blind, and he learned music there and studied music there. And then he later went to New York City and decided he wanted to play music on the street. And that's where he did a lot of his composing, and he carried that on into the streets of Berlin, where he lived out the rest of his life. But he was mainly a street musician, and he wrote these little pieces, all these little songs and pieces. And his favorite, I think his favorite instrument to write for was probably saxophone. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a lot of music for saxophone.
Just maybe one of the reasons I got asked to do the show.
Yeah.
I was looking at you playing saxophone.
And I'm playing saxophone. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to do a minimalism program because one, you don't get the opportunity to hear live minimalist music too often.
Mm-hmm.
Todd says he's done some numbers for sax in the past.
Yeah, but not very much. I mean, I haven't done a lot of this kind of music, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, and since there has been a lot of saxophone or music for written for saxophone in the minimalist style, I wanted to get him involved, as well as Luke Weld, who's a pianist, because there's plenty of piano music as well. Yeah. So.
And is that what made you choose these composers, just wanting to do a minimalism show?
Yes, that's to do a minimalism show, but these specific minimalist composers, because they wrote music that would sort of fit with our instrumentation.
Yeah.
So,
And back to Moondog, he's also known as the Viking of Sixth Avenue. So
I think that was, according to the...
Are those from his New York days? Or did he always wear a Viking costume?
So he would make these homemade Viking costumes. I don't know what that was all about, but he was eccentric.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But he was actually quite an accomplished musician. So he got... People would sort of dismiss him as this Viking of Sixth Avenue, but maybe it was a derogatory name, but... you know, that's how he got known.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you selected him to as a composer whose pieces you'll be performing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are some of the pieces that will be performed in the program?
Luke and I are going to do Arvo Pärt's famous Spiegel im Spiegel, which is Mirror in Mirror. I'm going to play alto flute. And he's going to play piano. And that's a pretty well-known piece by Arvo Pärt. He's an Estonian composer, more of the spiritualist, minimalist camp within that whole camp. And then I'm also playing a piece by David Lang, who is a newer post-minimalist composer. He recently won the Pulitzer Prize for composition for one of his works. And that piece is Vent for flute and piano. And that's a very interesting piece. And then... You want to talk about what you're
playing? Yeah, sure. So I've got a couple of really cool things that I'm super excited about. One of them is a piece called Dorian Reeds by Terry Riley for saxophone solo and tape delay. So I have a pickup on my saxophone and I play it into this tape delay that sort of loops and then kind of disappears and things fade in and fade out.
It's
been the most fun to play
with.
It's
very cool.
Yeah. And the other piece I'm doing by myself is another solo saxophone thing, Six of the 13 Melodies by Philip Glass. And I'm playing all soprano, saxophone, alto, tenor, and barry. Not all at the same time, sadly, but in close proximity. But the exceptionally cool thing about this is we have dancers dancing to while I'm playing, all choreographed by Haley Duran, and we've got Allison Holtkamp, Tai Yamaoka, and Marisha Bourgeois are dancing this with Haley. And so four dancers, four saxophones, Philip Glass.
It's going to be very cool.
It's going to be very cool, and I'm very excited.
That is exciting.
And then Luke Weld is playing a couple of pieces. He's going to play some of the music from Philip Glass's soundtrack for The Thin Blue Line. He's also going to do another piece by Moondog for solo piano.
Mm-hmm. So that's Luke Weld, and then Sally, you're performing, and Todd, you're performing, and dancers. Mm-hmm. Anybody else performing?
We're going to have a drummer with our final piece by Moondog.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, that's
going to be.
Okay. Surprise guest
drummer. Oh, and there's one other piece. There's the one we all three are playing on.
That's the one I meant. It's a Moondog, right?
Oh, yeah,
with Brian.
Yeah. Right,
the drummer.
Okay.
All right.
When and where are the shows?
So they are this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. at Northern Light United Church, and this Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the atrium at the APK, also known as the Slam. And both performances are pay as you can.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what's the best place to find out more information?
You can go to the Facebook page, Combrio Music Series.
Great. Yeah. All right. I'm speaking with Sally Schlichting and Todd Hunt, and they will be performing in the Combrio Concert Minimalism this weekend. That's Friday, 7:30, Northern Lights United Church, Saturday, 2 p.m. at the APK. Pay as you can. Is there anything else either of you two would like to add? Do you want to tell me a little bit about the piece I'm going to play you out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is Bird's Lament. It's performed by, I believe this is the London Saxophone Ensemble, London Saxophonic, and it's a I don't know. It's just a great piece. It's a tribute to Charlie Bird.
Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
Charlie
Whose
Bird
nickname
Parker.
Was
Bird. Right. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. And this is a Moondog piece, so enjoy Bird's Lament by Moondog.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping you and your child save for college every step of the way, from diapers to diploma. More information at uacollegesavings.com.
It's just about 20 minutes after the hour. You're tuned in to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. And here with me in the studio are my next guests, and they're here to tell me all about AWARE's Women of Distinction. Welcome Sarah Lynn Tabachnik, Lori Morton, and Quinny Maake.
Thank you.
I'm just very pleased I got most of those names right. Mostly right. All right. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited and honored to have the opportunity to talk with all three of you. Sarah Lynn Tabachnik, we're going to start with you. You work at AWARE. What is AWARE for those who don't know, and what is your role there?
Thanks for asking. AWARE is Juno's Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Agency. We provide intervention services as well as prevention services. And pretty comprehensively, I would say, AWARE is celebrated our 40th anniversary last year, and we're really proud of the work that we do.
I'm proud of AWARE as well. It's a great resource in the community.
Thank you.
So what is AWARE's Women of Distinction? What does it mean to be honored?
Well, Women of Distinction is our annual fundraiser. And it's, I think it's a pretty fabulous event. We ask in the fall, in the summer and in the fall, we ask community members to nominate women who are doing great things. And women are nominated, and our board of directors reviews all the nominations and from them has the difficult task of choosing four honorees each year who are then honored in March. So we're pretty excited about our honorees this year. And, of course, the event is just about 10 days away.
Wow. Closing in fast. Mm-hmm. Lori Morton, you are one of the honored women of distinction. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Will you please tell us a bit about yourself? What are you being recognized for, and what does this mean to you?
I am being recognized as an advocate in the work against domestic violence and sexual assault. I started in a shelter in Texas in 1984. I had suffered a sexual assault, and there wasn't services for women at that time. And what I could do to give back and to make something positive out of that was work at a shelter for battered women. I moved to Bethel in 1989 and served at Tundra Women's Coalition, which is their shelter and rape crisis center, and moved to Juneau in 1994, where I worked at the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault for 10 years and took some time off to see my mom through her last stages of Parkinson's, and then worked at the State Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
That is a long career of service and work in that industry. You certainly deserve to be honored for that. And as a woman, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry you were assaulted, but I'm very grateful for your years of service that you gave back, because
thank you.
It's very important. It means a lot to me on a personal level, and I think a lot to the community as well. So lucky Alaska to have us, and mm-hmm. Texas as well. And Quinny Make, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you being recognized for, and what does it mean to you?
Okay, I've been recognized for being an advocate for children and families in Juneau. And I have been working with young children in 1986. That's when I first started working for ever-growing child care. And then from there, I continue on with ABC Center. And all these years I have been working with young children, I met a lot of families, met a lot of children. And in that opportunity, that parents were trust me enough that I'd be able to be a part of their children, raising them up in Juneau. And I was having fun. I have learned a lot from there, and the children teach me a lot, to be patient, humility, and to love unconditionally. And those are the fact that I was staying with it, and it's part of me. And as I watch the children grow and excel and bloom, it gives me joy and happiness. And to me, and I think that's how I was promoted to this, nominated to this, is by the children that I was raised up in Juneau. So that's my career here in Juneau. It's over 30 years working with young children in Juneau. And that's what I do, and that's what I love to do. And also to helping out with the families in Juneau. Anything that some families, because I was a foreigner, and I come here to the States in a visitor permit to come. And I know how it felt like to be in that case. But because I was able to get stay in the States legally through the amnesty President Reagan was doing. So in that opportunity, I have an experience that I gained from helping my families to become permanent residents to come to the United States. I was able to reach out to the so many families in our town and out of town, out of state, to help them to enjoy the privilege and the opportunity and the blessings of living here in the United States and grow. And that's what I do. I love the families, I love the children, and I have to say I have a mentor, Joy Lyon, that she was able to help me to see the better part, to go out and be the voice for the children by taking a little red wagon to the legislature every year, you know, to introduce to be the voice of the children in Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great story. I mean, it's so heartwarming to work with children sometimes. It's also challenging. And when you work with kids for that many years, they grow up, they remember you. I'm sure you see them all around. And it's so wonderful that you could be a role model to them, but also provide that additional guidance to those who are coming here from another country and sharing those experiences and helping them through. Thank you for your service and congratulations.
You're welcome.
So that is Lori Morton and Quinny Mackay, both women of distinction. There are a total of four women being honored. The other two were here yesterday. Sarah Lynn, will you tell me their names again?
Right. June Degnan and Colleen James were here yesterday.
And all four of them will be honored at the ceremony this weekend. Now, when and where is the ceremony?
Right. So the ceremony is March 3rd, Saturday. It's at Centennial Hall. Doors open at 5:30, and at 5:30, we have a silent auction, which is fabulous. We get many items donated from the community goods and services. If anybody has an idea of what they'd like to donate, please feel free to give a wear call. We have a dessert auction, and we'll have music by the Rob Cohen Trio and a no-host bar. So people arrive between 5:30 and 7, and then at 7, our program begins. And if I can just cut to the highlight of our program, mm-hmm. is we ask each of the honorees to speak for 7 minutes about what inspires them. And that's what we get to hear about. And it's really beautiful and heartwarming. It has been every year. I'm confident we'll be again just hearing what the women have said this afternoon.
Do you both have your speeches written?
By heart.
And Lori's
shaking
her head.
We'll be ready on the night.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that you have an opportunity to share some wisdom and some stories and talk about your service and what it's meant to you and hear from the community, too, I'm sure, about what it's meant to them. This event is being billed as a gala as well as a silent auction. So will people be dressing up?
Yeah, it's an opportunity for Juneau to dress up.
And what else will this entail? There will be the silent auction, the program.
Right. Part of the program is a plated dinner. So it's
dinner as well.
Yeah, catered dinner. And, I don't want to give everything away.
No,
but we have a
no
lot
spoilers.
Of fun planned. I'll just tell you, we have a lot of fun planned. We still have some tickets available if people are interested. You can get them on our website. AwareAK.org is where you can purchase tickets, or you can call Aware at 586-6623.
Aware is a great website. It's very easy to find and easy to navigate. Who should come on Saturday, March 3rd?
Everybody should come. I mean, you know, it's really a feel-good event. And if you want to come and celebrate the joys and the accomplishments in our community, it's really a wonderful event. You know, the reality of what AWARE does is sometimes challenging, of course, and can be very difficult. But also our work is about healing and uplifting, and so bringing that into the community in a really joyful way to honor women who have done great things to support all of us, how interconnected we all are, is really a joyful occasion. I hope you can come, Shelley.
Well, thank you very much. I will try my best. I'm happy to hear that tickets are still available. And I was also wondering, how do the proceeds benefit AWARE?
So the proceeds help support all of AWARE services. So that services are intervention services, 24/7 shelter crisis line, from people in immediate crisis and immediate need, meet someone at the hospital, whatever their needs are, as well as more ongoing needs, less crisis-y, and also prevention efforts. We have a pretty significant prevention program now in Juneau and oversee the Juneau Violence Prevention Coalition. And we also have a men's program where men do their work and look at the issues of power and privilege.
Good. Good. Yes, I think that's a really important component of all of this.
Right.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the information. I'm here with Sarah Lynn Tabachnik from AWARE and Lori Morton and Quinny Mackay, two of AWARE's Women of Distinction. There are four total, and they will be giving their speeches and accepting their awards at the gala and silent auction on March 3rd, Centennial Hall, 5:30. Is there anything that you guys would like to add to this?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm very grateful for the people in Juneau, the community of Juneau, through their support and their trust that was able to encouraging. And I can say Juneau is a fun place to be, great people to be. And with me, I have to say I'm very grateful that I'm here in Juneau. Appreciate that people try to understand me with my accent when I first came into town. And I'm proud to be a Juneau person. I've lived in Juneau more than anywhere else in my whole life. Thank you.
Great place to call home. How about you, Lori?
I'd echo Gwenny's thoughts about Juneau. It is a great place to live. I'm very honored to receive this award in the first year that I was eligible to receive it. And I'm looking forward to hearing the other three women's stories and celebrating our lives together at the event.
Well, thank you all for being here today. Thank you, Sarah Lynn, for coordinating this. And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Pleasure. Thank you.
Sure. All right. We'll have a great ceremony on March 3rd, and I hope to see you there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
Never claiming to be something I'm not. Don't want what's yours, just want what's mine. Not trying to take over, I just want my spot. How can life go on without me here? It's impossible. Oh, all the pain endured to give life, and we keep giving. Move over, I'm just here to help. That's what God made me for. You ain't gotta build by yourself. You got your pride, don't let it make you blind. Don't need to be walking behind. You're better with me by your side.
How can life go on without me here? It's impossible.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me in the studio is Jeffrey Clow with the weekly Eagle Crest Update and joined by guest Brian Davies. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us on the show this afternoon, Shelley.
Snow is in the forecast, so I know you're happy.
Oh, yeah, we're really excited.
This is a good time to check in with the weather. There's a winter storm watch in effect beginning tomorrow morning through late tomorrow night, Thursday, and they're predicting heavy snow, 5 to 9 inches possible.
So we're excited. We've been watching the forecast all season long, and so we're hoping this one comes through, and we've managed to get a little bit additional terrain open.
We've done pretty well with what little snow came in last week. It's been pretty light this winter, and this looks like the temperatures coming in might good be base builder, which I hate to say base builder at the end of February, but we'll take everything we can get.
It's okay. We still got a few months to go. It's not like, you know, winter's over at the end of the month.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yes, and you guys are a little bit superstitious about winter storm warnings, I hear.
Just been kind of watching. It's been a weird winter. Things haven't exactly come through the way that it's been forecast, but it's, you know, that's the nature of the business that we're in. But the storm that we got last weekend allowed us to be able to open up some additional terrain on the mountain. So we, on last Saturday, we opened up the Hooter and Ptarmigan chairs for advanced and expert skiers and riders. And I think, and that was open Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then tomorrow and Friday, we'll have Ptarmigan only open from 9 to 3:30, and that is also for advanced and expert skiers and riders only.
It's due to the snow depth on the mountain right now, we can't really get the cats up there without causing more damage to what the little snow there is. Mm-hmm. So we're asking folks to ski with caution. They might want to go blazing into places they could do at the end of the season last year, but it's not that deep. So check it out first, then have fun.
Cool. Well, that's great to hear that Ptarmigan's open. I had to do a little double take there. It's been Porcupine most of the year. Like, wait a second. She didn't say Porcupine this time.
Nope. So, but Porcupine will be open Saturday and Sunday. And we're, just like we have been, we'll watch this storm, and we're hoping it comes in as forecast, and we'll be able to open up additional terrain and get closer to our normal operation schedule. And we know it's been a weird operation winter, so just... And let everyone know they can go to skijuno.com and find out what we're up to. But we're trying to make the most of what we have now.
Yep. We were able to pull through the whole weekend with having everything open except for the West Bowl, Trickster, and Steep Chute. So we had 80% of the mountain skiable, and folks on Saturday skied it hard. they packed it all in every little nook and cranny, which is great to see. It was a very happy crowd.
Oh, good. I was going to ask about the turnout, but it seemed like you guys had a lot of people up there.
Yeah, people were ecstatic. Get out. Finally.
Finally, right. And you guys, I just have to say, you guys have a great online presence. I follow you on Twitter and Facebook. And in addition to the website, there's so many updates posted. And, you know, there's a lot of places you can go to find that information. Even at the last minute, it's all up to date.
Yep.
Even if you
and
just
it,
have your phone.
It changes quickly. So, and, you know, we're, like we said, we're watching this storm. And we're really hoping that this storm will come in and we can get more of the mountain open and kind of relax and get more variety of people up there as well.
What do you do to prepare when you've got a winter storm watch like we've got today?
Kind of depends on timing. If it was coming earlier in the morning or tonight, my crew would be up there to survey for avalanche danger and take care of that. We want to be able to have the list rolling at 9 a.m. So we try to, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with packing out the lift queues and getting things ready, making sure all staff's in place, parking lots plowed and ready to be in there. But looks like our snow is really, for us, according to the forecast, like 9 a.m. on. So it's going to, sounds like it's going to get better through the day.
And Brian, what is your role at Eagle Crest?
I'm the director of the ski patrol and do snow safety.
Yeah. Okay, great. So yeah, I bet this is, you guys are probably getting ready.
Yes.
Getting ready to go up there and check it out.
We like Porky, but we're ready. We're enjoying that we can use the whole mountain now.
Yep, it's been a great season on the Porcupine Lift, and the Porcupine Lift is still in great shape, but we're all ready to get some more terrain open and ski more terrain, so we're excited.
Definitely. Anything else that you guys want to talk about while you're here?
Nope. Just be mindful skiing around that it's still early season conditions. There's still obstacles, and with the ski traffic we had this weekend, a few more things became exposed. And we have bumps where there's generally been groom trained and there's still going to be moguls tomorrow.
Great. Yep. So find us on skijuno.com and, like you said, on our social media platforms, and we'll get the word out and let you know what's happening up on the mountain.
Cool. Thank you both for being here, and I'm excited about the snow, too.
Great. Yep. Thanks,
Shelley.
Thank
you.
Yep. Snow dances are finally working.
Look at a male wild turkey, if you dare. This turkey is a hefty 4 feet of bird, tail tip to beak. Its handsome, dark, and densely feathered body is topped by a bare neck. And there, dangling from the chin, is a wrinkly mass of bumpy, warty-looking red skin. The wattle. Why have a wattle? Wattles are an adaptive feature that come in handy in several ways. On a hot day, with the sun bearing down, the bare skin of neck and wattle helps release excess heat. Birds don't sweat. They can't sweat. So the turkey is otherwise trapped in its dense, dark feathers. Wattles have other roles to play. When the male turkey gets to courting the hens, the wattle takes center stage. Extra blood rushes in, and the wattle glows bright scarlet for maximum visual impact. If a predator appears, sparking a moment of fear, the blood may retract from the wattle, turning it blue. Many birds have wattles, including some storks, plovers, pheasants, bellbirds, cassowaries, and, of course, the rooster in the barnyard. Are they pretty? In the right bird's eye, no doubt. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Bird Note listeners are taking a once-in-a-lifetime journey to the Galapagos, and you can join us in July 2018. Trip details and more at birdnote.org.
Hey there, KTOO fans. This is Paula Poundstone of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I'm heading to Juneau to do a special performance for the station this March 8th at Centennial Hall. The show starts at 7 p.m., which means you'll have plenty of time to down a few kombuchas first. I love an audience that's all hopped up on probiotics. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss out. Get yours at ktoo.org, the station, and the Jack.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. It's about 13 minutes to the top of the hour. My next guests are here representing Juno Lyric Opera, and they're going to be talking about an upcoming recital. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got Jay Query here. He is a tenor. He's one of the performers who will who you'll see at the recital. And I've also got Alan Davis. Sorry, yes. I lost your name for a second. And Alan, what is your role at the Juno Lyric Opera?
Well, I'm on the board. I'm the treasurer of the opera, but I'm the producer. We usually have one person who becomes sort of the business manager for an event, deals with renting, rehearsal space, other personnel that are needed. You know, if it's a stage show, we've got lots of people that we need, and the producer works at making sure that everything happens.
And happens the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And you were telling me before we started the interview that the recitals are not necessarily an annual event. It's kind of when you have someone who wants to play and wants to perform.
Yeah, generally we wait for somebody to approach us, you know, that knows we do. We sponsor recitals. So we've done, I don't know, three or four in the last 5 years.
Great. And Jay, you've been a part of some of those, yes?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the last one that Sue and I did was about 4 years ago. And JLO sponsored that one too, and it's a great help because there's a lot to do, and way more than I ever thought in producing a show.
And you're a tenor, so you're a singer,
uh-huh.
And you're performing with Sue Kazama, who is a pianist, and she'll be accompanying you.
Correct. Yeah.
And what are some of the selections that you'll be performing?
Well, we've got a couple song sets that make up the bulk of the program. And the first one is by Aaron Copland, and it's a collection of old American songs. And so a lot of them are sort of folk songs or songs of the day that he picked up, collected them, you know, in the South and all over the country, and then arranged the music for them. And very nice piano arrangements for them.
Are there any songs on there that our listeners might know or might have heard before?
Yeah, let's see. You might know Simple Gifts.
Yes.
That's, you know, a pretty popular one. Let's see. The Boatman's Dance.
I'm not familiar with that one, but I'm sure many of our listeners are.
Uh-huh. At the River is a gospel, kind of a spiritual song that he arranged, too, that's in that set. And then there's a set also by a Spanish composer, Manuel de Falla. And it's his set of six Spanish folk songs. And he went all around the country, too, and collected these, you know, these songs that people were singing and arranged them for piano. And some of them are like dance music, you know, with a set of lyrics to them.
Did you and Sue come up with these together? What was behind the song choices? Or Alan, did you choose some of them?
It's all Jay.
Well, Sue and I have been working together for years, and you know, she helps me with different shows that I'm in, you know, with the music. And so occasionally we get together and just play songs that we enjoy. And so that's kind of the basis of this. And then, you know, in thinking about, well, we enjoyed doing our last recital, which was kind of the culmination of 10 years of playing together. And so this fall we thought, well, let's do another one. And, you know, here are this music that we've been enjoying and working on. And so we compiled it from that.
So you guys play together just for fun or for practice?
Mm-hmm.
Both?
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going so well, you thought you might as well share it, huh?
Why not?
How long have you been a singer, Jay?
Oh, most of my life. I sang in my teens and then sang kind of semi-professionally in groups, you know, earlier in my life. And then, you know, this type of music I've been doing for about 25 years.
Yes, the Copland music is pretty classic, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And you, you're local. You live here in Juneau.
Uh-huh.
Lived here a long time.
I moved here in 1975, so.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And Sue is local as well.
Mm-hmm. About the same time. She's been a teacher for years and years and played in many, many shows.
Juno's got talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alan, let me back up a step. The recital is February 25th, 3 p.m. at Northern Lights United Church.
Correct, yeah.
And admission is by donation to Juno Lyric Opera.
Yes.
What do those donations support?
First off, it pays for the expenses of putting on the recital, and if there is a profit, it goes to JLO.
Just reinvesting in the organization.
General revenues. I mean, we have a lot of things going on, and always need money. We have a fundraiser coming up this April. Try and raise a bundle of money.
Well, tell me all about what you've got coming up in the next few months.
We have this fundraising spring gala. It's an annual event. It's at Elizabeth Baratrovich Hall on April 28th. It has a theme of heroes and villains. We're doing a lot of singing. We're having desserts and a bar. And then singers presenting arias and folk songs, whatever. I don't really know what all is going on into it. On May 20th, we're doing an afternoon of Ave Marias at the Shrine of St. Therese. This is the third annual. It was kind of a one-off when we did it, and it's been so popular that we're doing it again. We do two performances at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. I don't know if you know the shrine, but it's a really small space and very limited, so that people, if they're interested, they should get tickets in advance, definitely. You can't just walk in. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's a nice drive out there, at least, if they do try.
Yeah, we're also assisting the Orpheus Project. They're doing the Princess Sophia opera that's being written. I guess it's now finished. They have a finished version, and it's going to be workshopped March 15th through 17th, culminating with a short public performance of selections. And then the opera itself will be produced in October on the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Princess Sophia.
What is the Orpheus Project, for those who don't know?
It's another organization in town. It was also known as Opera to Go for a number of years. And then Todd Hunt is the artistic director. And a couple of years ago, two years ago, he changed the name to the Orpheus Project for his own reasons, I don't know.
He was just here. We could have asked him.
But it's kind of amazing that Juno has two opera companies in town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so that's everything that's coming up with the Juno Lyric Opera. And again, the recital is February 25th at 3 p.m., Northern Lights United Church. And is there anything else that either of you would like to add, either about the recital or anything upcoming for JLO?
I don't think so. That's all I have to say.
Great. And where's the best place to find out more information about everything?
You can find some more on our website, which is junoopera.org. I put my own phone number on the poster. You can call me, and I can give you some more information at 586-3856.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in today, and you brought a song that you wanted me to play for your outro. Tell us a little bit about that, Jay.
It's a song from an opera, and it's a tenor aria. He's waiting for the woman he loves to come from the sea, and he's in his boat waiting. So,
well, I wish you were singing it for us, but I guess I'll have to come to the recital to hear that.
Do that.
Thanks again, both of you, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh.
attendo, ardente spira, oggi il vento dell'amore.
Thanks for tuning in today to a Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we'll learn about a new program at the Juno Shambhala Center. Julie Copins will be your host. We'll find out what's happening at ShoeFly this month during Final Friday. We'll get a preview of the new exhibit at the Alaska State Museum on the NN Cannery Project with Dr. Catherine Ringsmuth. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. That's tomorrow live at 3 on KTOO. Jeff Brown is the producer, and I am your host, Shelley Delaney. Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org. Again, weather today, tonight, cloudy with lows in the mid-20s, and tomorrow, snow, accumulations around 2 inches during the day. And tomorrow night, heavy snow accumulation around 3 inches. There's a winter storm watch in effect starting tomorrow morning, so be safe out there. And until tomorrow, this has been a Juno Afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.